Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
Now, teaching English can be a daunting task for new teachers out there. If you're thinking about going abroad or if you're just starting your ESL teaching career. And it can be, of course, very daunting for your learners as well. So don't forget that. Depending on the culture where you are teaching or the cultures that are coming into your classroom, some of those students are focused on form and some are focused on meaning. And sometimes they study in the same class, which makes it very difficult for teachers. So you need to have exercises and plans in your lesson that combine both form and meaning. It is very essential for young teachers out there. Now, in the early days, of course, language teaching, the predominant methodology was the grammar transition method, whereby, you know, the correct form was critical to language success. And this method is still, unfortunately, being used in some Asian countries. And it has only been more recently that, you know, the importance of meaning has caught up and how we can create new methodologies around teaching meaning has improved. It truly has improved. Let's take a look at first defining what is form and what is meaning. Okay. Now, form, basically, we're breaking the language down into separate units. So, for example, you would teach first the simple present, then the simple past, then the past perfect, then the present perfect, then the first conditional, second conditional, third conditional, then modals. So it's all broken down separately. And you know what? We do this in our study at grammar textbooks. We do kind of follow that style where different themes in units are broken down based around grammar structures, especially at the intermediate level and lower. When we get into the more advanced levels in our grammar textbooks, we do try to mix it up a bit and stir the pot with all the different grammar forms to keep them, move them away from that style of learning. But certainly early on in a student's development, using this style is good. And it's helpful to the student, and you'll see a good improvement in the beginner level students. And, you know, each part of this lesson is kind of planned logically, and the lesson follows a standard kind of format where you would have a warm-up, you'd present the grammar, you'd practice the grammar, you'd do a little production of the grammar, and then you give the feedback. It's also known as the PPP method. So this type of form is very common. And if we look at defining meaning, this is where we present students the language kind of in a natural situation, perhaps, or a natural way. And grammar is not taught directly, like we're not standing in front of the class saying, we're going to study the present perfect now. No, it's just naturally brought out through different situations, through different speakings, through different examples. And sometimes if we can get the students to use their own experiences, and of course through projects as well, getting students to work on projects. And in our study at conversation textbooks, we break down the units in this style. So they're theme-based, and you can see there is a little bit of a form in there, but that's not the main focus of the conversation books. It is more to present the English through natural kind of situations. And that's meaning. Okay, so that's form and meaning. So grammar and context, basically. Now, teaching form meant students had to kind of learn English like they were building a bridge. Even today, having sat in English lessons in Asia, in Saudi Arabia, and some of these countries, it was more like an engineering class than an English class. The teachers were using incredibly difficult teacher words to describe situations, such as, after the auxiliary verb, you place the infinitive and not the gerund. And I'm like, what? You know, this type of language is very hard for students to understand. And it's even hard for native teachers to understand. You know, so it's not necessary for students to learn all of these teacher words. For example, you could say, if you're talking about infinitives and gerunds, you know, you could introduce these words as to plus the verb or verb plus ing. All right. And teach them through this situation. You don't need to use infinitive and gerund. Alternatively, what I've also seen is that students were asked to translate material from their native language to English and maybe translate back. So translation techniques were also quite popular in the form teaching methodology. And, you know, sadly, it is still kind of going on in some countries as well. And, you know, it's not about learning English. It's about memorizing and being the fastest translator, okay? Now, because studying form was often the main focus in many Asian and Southeast Asian and Arabic English educational curricula, the cultural understandings were sometimes missed. And when the student was asked to perform outside of a kind of structured lesson, they weren't able to do it. And they are actually not able to do it today. And that's one of the big challenges I see when students come from abroad, is that when they're taken out of that structure, they can't function. Okay. And many countries still focus on form. Why? Well, I mean, it's an easy thing to test, right? I mean, it's an easy thing to test. And they can create standardized tests. And one of the reasons why I dislike standardized testing, of course, is it's all based on form. So, you know, form teaching has not changed very much over the generations. There's still a desire to teach form. And one of the new kind of tricks to teaching form is through verbal drilling. Instead of having them do the written exercises, they just do simple verbal repetition drills. And, you know, voila, we're speaking English in our class. Yeah, you're speaking English, but you know what? The students are not placed in a stressful situation where they need to use and think English in their own thoughts. Okay, so I do believe that form has a place in English teaching. And I do believe that at the beginner level, the pre-intermediate level, the intermediate level, that form is very, very important. And I can tell when students have not studied that form, and that's often from South American countries where they focus a little bit more on meaning and less on form. And I can see that when I meet them after they've studied abroad. So their structure is all over the place. Okay, their form is all over the place because they've never been taught from the beginning how to kind of create those basic sentences and the basic structure of English. So form is important, and I don't want to put form down, and I think there's a lot of negativity to form because of what's happening in some of the Asian cultures where they're doing too much form. Okay, they're doing too much form. At some point, form needs to move off into meaning. And I judge it as at about the intermediate and kind of a lower upper intermediate level where we start taking them away from that form teaching, especially in our study of textbooks, we take them away from that form teaching into more meaning and mixing the forms together, kind of like cooking. You know, you're creating a cooking class of English form. That's a good analogy. Now, let's take a look at meaning. Okay, so seeing the form of a grammar point is quite easy for the students, but understanding the meaning and the nuances behind that can be complex. And in Asia, many of the teachers are not able to explain this cultural nuance of the language. And, you know, therefore, there's been actually an increase of Asian students and teachers studying abroad to get a wider vision of English language and its cultural nuances. And that's very, very important. One quick, easy way that you can try to help students understand meaning in your classes is through concept check questions. You know, just checking the students' understanding of the new structure before they say even a word of it. You know, this will save you a lot of time on just drilling students. Okay, so you could say something like, you know, I've known my friend Mary since I left school. That's a complex sentence. I have known. Okay, we're using present perfect since I left, and we're using the simple past. So we're using two different kind of form tenses. And you might say, wow, so guys, answer my question. Is Mary at school? Am I at school? Did I know Mary before I left school? Do I know her now? Is she my friend now? Was she my friend at school? So you're asking all of these questions based around one kind of complex form sentence. So that's kind of a neat little trick you can do to try to, you know, wean yourself off drills and repetition drills if you're doing that out there. So just remember that concept questions should not have the target structure, and it should be just a really simple kind of a statement, okay, that describes the meaning of that structure, okay? And you're just asking questions. All right. Now, another way that we can introduce meaning to our lessons is visually. Okay. So trying to present your situation visually. Obviously, simple things, if we're using a clock to talk about time. Okay. Or if you are talking about prepositions, you can bring in a box, you know, on the box, in the box, under the box. You know, bringing in any sort of realia is great. And of course, the internet can help so much now with doing meaning work. So, you know, if you can't take your students anywhere, you're kind of trapped in your class, bring in the iPad, man. Bring in the iPad. You got so much you can do with that iPad to show and help students. Now, the other technique is showing meaning through a situation. All right. So try to think of a situation outside of the class where the structure can be used naturally, where the vocabulary and dialogue can be used naturally. Now, you may want to use a dialogue to teach the structure of the language in a real life situation. I'm not against that. I've always used kind of these dialogues and situational learning as a technique to teach kind of the structure of common everyday situations. But I also love mobile learning, where you can take the students out of the class and practice English in a real life situation. Okay, so at the coffee shop is a natural mobile learning extension of the situational role play of a waiter and a customer. All right, take your students to the coffee shop and teach them there. Teach them there. Teach them how to order a coffee, how to give a tip. All right, I love that concept. It's not being done. I mean, there's a lot of issues around it, of course. But if you're in a university, I mean, there's opportunities, or a college, there's opportunities to take them around within the school. Or even if you're at a high school, maybe you've got a cafeteria where they can practice some of those languages. I know sometimes administration doesn't like the students to go out onto the streets, but you know, there's a lot of great stuff. And that's where, like, artificial reality can really help, you know, in the future, where we can really take the students into a kind of a virtual coffee shop. You know, I really see that as one amazing extension of technology. But I digress. My favorite, though, really, for presenting meaning is through flipped classroom techniques, or through project-based learning. Okay. You've heard me speak a lot about these two concepts. I love doing project-based learning. Having the students complete a project that may take several hours or several weeks can be so rewarding for the students. However, teachers, word of warning, you must keep them on task and focused on the correct usage. That is the challenge. And it's not an easy thing to do. And you need to get some experience behind you. So starting with project-based learning, just start with something small and kind of work your way up to something bigger. But as the projects get more complex, you are going to become more challenged as a teacher. So you need to be confident with your ability. Now, for me, both form and meaning are equally important in language learning. And that is why we broke down the study at grammar and conversation books in the manner that they focus on both form and meaning. You know, however, do not forget, as I discussed at the opening of this podcast, you may need to focus more on form or more on meaning strategies, depending on where your students are coming from. That is something you need to keep in the back of your mind. I'm going to try to post this transcript up onto the website, www.thejamesriceshow.com, so you can read it, you know, think about it a little bit more. Perhaps send me your thoughts, your questions on the subject of form versus meaning. And that is Teacher Talk for this week.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.